It's July 27th, 1981, and we're in the project office talking with Ross Anglesuk about houses.
Yes, I would like to go back first to the ice cellar to ask a question about what we've just seen, and that is the size of the ice cellar underneath the entrance. Was that all dug out at one time, or did that get larger through the years through use?
One time. I was going to make it a little bigger, but I never take care of.
And you put the meat in and then clean it out in the spring.
Right.
Digging the ice out, but leaving the walls intact.
Well, in the early spring, you see, mostly the meat that we have put in there, mostly clean out, you see.
In the springtime.
Yeah. And my boys used to start to clean it out and take the old meat out too, same time, give it to somebody who need it.
In the springtime, then you clean out the ice cellar and pass the meat around to whatever's left over to somebody who might need it.
Yeah.
So there's no meat in the ice cellar in the summer months.
What was that?
You have no meat in the ice cellar during the summer.
We used to have. You see the meat that we have put in there. That's the way it's always going, you see. We used to try to get a meat as much as we can in the summertime and put it in the cellar. Sometimes we hang it up to dry.
And why do you have no problem with water coming in through the walls?
We know. We put a dirt all around that hole there. Mud and the dirt go together when it gets hard, you know, the water won't go in there. If you had it go like that, sometimes it's straight like this, you see. Sometimes the water going out, but if you have put that mud and the dirt like this, the water just ran out like that instead of going straight down. Anyway, when that dirt and the mud getting hard, nothing will go in there. Solid, seal it.
And the boarding on the hole going in will also stop the spring thaw from coming in and going down as well.
Right. If we kept that door open 2 hours, you see that thing started thawing down and water dripping down.
Yeah.
I think you see some in there right on top of the meat, some ice.
A little bit, yeah.
Some time ago, you see, they had kept the door open and the frost melt and drip it down from that box.
Yeah. And normally speaking, do you put the different animals or the different parts of the animals in different parts of the cellar, or is it thrown together?
Well, I always most of the time when I take care of myself, I used to put a ducks, seal, caribou, whale, blubber, set them together by each. But now you see, I just talk and never go in there. My boys, you tend to take care of these, they just throw it down and they know what they got to do it. And I used to talk to them before, the way they should take care of what they have.
Did you have any kind of boards or a platform around the side to put things on or do you just set it on the ice?
Well, when the boys clean it up before the snow melt, after they clean it out, they put clean snow right on the floor of the cellar.
Is the size of your ice cellar pretty much the same as everybody else's, or is it a little bit bigger? Or?
Well, some of the people have a larger one. Well, this one, I used to have a good sized cellar down that way toward Sejaneco. And when they started going to build a road, they get rid of my big cellar. This one was big. Oh, I don't know how high, from top down to, it could be 30 foot, I guess, and got two sides like that, this way and that way, two rooms. And when they start to build a road, they say, "We're going to tear up your cellar, city." And they promised me, "We're going to make you another one so much if you want to have it. And you can tell us where we're going to build you a new cellar." And I told them, "Okay, build a cellar right outside my house so I can go any further to go and get some meat." And they did it. And they don't keep their promise. They says, "We're going to build it just like as the old one that you have." No, they didn't even get close to it.
But they had somebody make that one over there?
Right. City.
The city.
Well, they tear up my good cellar down there. I don't know how many they have done it that way, same thing. When they're making a road, that cellar got to be teared down and make them a new one. This is one of them, mine.
So your old one must have been there near Ikawanis.
Yeah, down there. It's not far from Ikawanis cellar, but it's covered with mud already. They tear it down when they build a road.
And all of the soil and gravel, the dirt and gravel that comes out of the hole of the ice cellar, is that mounded around, or is some of that carried further away?
No, just throw it out tight, so it will be flat. They just throw it out there.
And what was the purpose in the old times of building a little sod house above the ice cellar with the open doors? You see old ice cellars.
Yeah. Well, they dig it a little bit, not too much, and put the bone, well ribs, put it around like that, not too big, and put a sod right outside, dirt. That's the way they used to keep the meat, not going down deep, just a little bit. And they used a lot of well head to land right over there and put that whale rib, jaw, whale jaw. Some driftwood.
So it's more recently then that they started digging them deeper?
Huh?
It's been just more recently that they started digging them deeper like yours?
Yeah. Well, the old one that we used to have, it's, by this time of the year, it's everything thaw in there. And the meat is not frozen. Some, not all, some. Some used to be a little deeper, like mine. The old people that they had, they used to cover it with the whale shoulder blade and put a head right on top.
I wonder if it was harder to dig down into the ice back in the old days.
Well, they do it, yeah, with a railroad pick. They dig it down.
Maybe what that pick was for that we saw last night.
That's what I was thinking of. Pick. Pretty big one.
Heavy duty. You want to ask these house questions, Dale?
Well, I think we might be better to go out there. The stuff I have all has to do with the structure. Oh, you mean these?
Yeah.
Well, I'm giving you those if you want. I made notes on yours, so that's the stuff you gave me, and I just condensed it. Can you read my writing?
Why don't you ask the
questions? I'll ask the questions. He can't read my writing. We're working with these old houses out there in the mountains, and there's a number of questions that have come up about them. And one of the things we're interested in, these houses aren't very big, at least by kind of houses people have now. Can you give us some idea of how many people you expect to be living in the house? One of the old style houses, the smaller ones?
Well, it's hard to say. But I never catch those people that used to live. Anyway, we talk about our house, Roxy and I.
Yeah.
Well, used to be three, four families in that little house together in those days when we was a kid.
Like pretty crowded, huh?
Pretty crowded. But they used to have a, what do you call that? Another bed from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sleep right up there.
Platform?
All the way to across the building.
Is it a platform?
A wood, a driftwood.
How high was this above the floor?
Well, about some lower.
Did some people sleep under it also?
Under, right.
So you had three levels of people sleeping.
Huh?
Three levels of people sleeping. Some on the floor, some on the first bunk, and some on the second bunk.
Right.
Well, you really pack them in, huh?
Well, it can help it, you know.
Yeah,
you see, that's the only place to live in the winter. In those days, everything was scarce. Not like today.
Yes.
You got to sleep somewhere. Yeah.
Right. The people that close together used to live in one house.
These people, would they be relatives or friends?
Relatives. Some friends together.
Like maybe me and my brother would have one that sort of?
Right.
And then if you have a close friend?
Right. That's the way we used to live. When I was a boy, some brothers, some lived with their parents, even they had their kids, you know. They help each other. They hate to see somebody stay somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But some, they used to make their own, the people.
As we understand it, at least now, these partially underground houses, people didn't stay in them in the summer, or did they? Did they stay in them in the summer, or did they go out elsewhere?
Even the summer, they stayed there. Well, in those days, no tent. Some I used to know, they made out of skin of a caribou, make that hair come out and sew it together. They used to do that. Not too many though, but the people that used to go up in the tundra for hunting.
Well, you had some storage areas associated with the house too. Did your house have a storage rack in the back, outside the house in the back?
What's that?
A place where you could store stuff?
Well, in those days, they used to make a cast. They'd dig down 4 logs and put a straight across this way and that way and put a lock right on top. And that's the Eskimo warehouse, what I would call. They put their belongings in there and put a canvas right over it.
What kind of things would you put up there?
Well, anything, what they have, what they use, you see. If they're not going to use it right away, they put it in there. Any gear what they have, any belonging what they have.
The reason we're asking these questions, we go out and dig, and then by what we find, we try to figure out what was going on in a certain part of the house. See, so, and yeah. We're digging in an area right now. We just started digging in the back of the house where there's some poles sticking up, and we think it's a storage area. We'll go out there after a while, and you can see it. Well, for example, in the summer, what would I do with my sled? Would I leave it on the ground? Would I stick it up there?
Some put it up there. Some just laid it right outside their house. Okay. Some they used to put a log, 2 logs, so their runners wouldn't get down to the ground.
Ah.
Safer that way, from rust or anything like that. Dry all the time.
Dave, do you want to have Ross comment on that picture while we're on the subject of houses?
Yeah, about 1922, there was a man named Bailey living in Wainwright for quite a while. He came to Barrow for a little while, but spent most of his time in Wainwright. He took some pictures, and this one is a house in Wainwright. We don't have any more information on it than that. It's just one of the houses in Wainwright in 1922.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if it kind of looked familiar to, as the kind of house that you might have had then.
Right. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
This.
Right.
But this one, right all the way across the building.
Okay.
Igloo. Yeah, I seen quite a few houses like this. When I was young, when I go down to Wainwright, sod houses. And Roxy and I lived in a sod house when we were the boys.
Did it look like this one?
Right, looked like this. Sometime they stirred up a flour and put papers in their newspapers. So we would have more little bright in there and inside the building.
Makes it lighter, huh?
Yeah.
Make a plaster for the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a flower.
Sort of stick the...
Yeah, papers. Any kind of paper.
Yeah.
The flower makes a paste, Dave.
Yeah.
Yes, you shred the paper in it.
Stick it
to
the wall.
Are you talking about shredding up the paper inside the paste? Or just put the paste on the wall?
Right.
Then put the paper on it?
Yeah.
just like wallpaper.
Sometimes you put a flower on the paper like that and just shut it right on the wall.
Okay. I wonder if that's what that... No, that's probably not the same thing. Looks like there's some little things
here. Well, they put something right across here, lay something right in there.
Yeah. I wonder if it was a shelf. It's a little narrow for a shelf.
Yeah. Maybe they have a shelf before, but maybe that thing is dropped down, I guess.
And there's a couple of little pieces nailed on here. I don't know what that would be.
I don't know.
Gee. You may even know some of those people, huh?
I know that lady.
Do you?
Oh. Yeah, both of them.
Are they still alive, or?
No. Uh-huh. No.
Little kid might be alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're both gone.
Ross.
I think that's her mother, this lady.
These two logs here. These go all the way across,
right,
over to this wall.
Yeah.
And then the roof board's set.
Right.
Set on that.
Right. And they had another roof right above. Sure, that thing would land.
So it comes up.
Yeah, like that.
A ridge pole on that.
Yeah.
That's the idea, I guess. Now this goes across. Right here's the corner, I guess, of the house.
Yeah.
Like this wall goes this way and this one.
Right. This one go this way, same.
There's two more. These are from Beryl. And I was wondering if you remembered these buildings. So they were there. They were somewhere around Beryl in 1922. That one's supposed to have been a fort. It was built in 1881.
This one is not a fort. You see, a weatherman built this. He used to have an instrument in there. Sometime he set the balloon. The first weatherman here at Beryl.
Oh.
That's what it is.
You were mentioning that as a station, weren't you, Dale?
Yeah.
From the International
Polar Expedition.
1881.
1881.
Okay.
What year was this?
The photograph, it says, well, let's see. There's no date on it, but I assume that guy...
Well, I think this is a different one. I think I never see this one. This. What I was talking about is not Sidus, this building. It's small. And he had it like this. The first weatherman that been here at Beryl had the same box like this. In the evening at dark, he used to look stars. Sometimes he let the balloon go. They used to live right outside our house. Not the one that we are talking about. The other house. I used to hear them when they call the stars by the name. I don't know what they do. I don't think I haven't seen this building.
Where was that? Where was your other house?
Hmm?
Where was the other house that was near that weather station?
Well, it used to be... used to be right... Uh, It's not far from the place where we talked about the other day, the first wind office.
Oh, okay.
That way.
Right down by the hotel across
yeah,
the street.
Right. It's a little house we used to stay.
Did you ever see this one? This is supposed to have been one of Brower's houses that he built for some shipwrecked whalers.
Yeah, I used to hear about those, but I never see them.
Oh, okay.
I never see them. When the old people telling stories about those whalers that got wrecked here, they live in those houses. They build them by themselves out of the lumber. No, I never seen that or that one.
Ross, one of the problems we're having with little digging is that people would come along to an old house, one that wasn't used anymore, and take lumber out of it, or maybe for another house or to burn or
some.
Yeah.
Sometimes. We was a kid, they do that the way you say.
Now, if, in the old days, if I built a house and then I went away, could just anybody come along? Would just anybody come along and grab it?
Well, no. They just stay in there and no, they wouldn't tear that thing down when you went away. But if you gone for not to come back, they could do that any old way what they like to.
Just anything they wanted to.
Right? Yeah. If they know you are not coming back.
So just anybody could come along, and if you need a board or you need this or that and it's in the house,
right.
You can just take
it. Well, if you tell them, I'm not coming back, you can use this or have it, whatever you do, whatever you want it.
And if someone goes away, let's say for a year, and says, I'm going away for a year, but stays away many years.
Well, if they know that you are coming back, they could use it all right, but they wouldn't tear it down unless it fire burn it down.
And how often did fires occur in the old days?
We never had much problem on fire when I was a boy. Once in a while, not the Eskimos, white, they had a fire in the building. I never seen much when I was a boy, Eskimos caught a fire, like today.
Do you have, can you give us any idea of how long a house would last? An old style house.
Well, that log house, sod house, could stay for quite a while. If somebody stay in there and take care of it, it stay for quite a while.
It helps us if we have some idea of how long a house lasts, because sometimes we dig into a house and we don't find very much. And other times we find a lot of stuff, and you wonder sometimes if maybe in a house where you don't find very many things, if it's just because it wasn't used nearly as long.
Depends on the dirt, you see, right above, sod, or anything like that. If anybody don't take care of that thing start to leak down and rot the driftwood. Right.
Then it comes down, huh?
Right.
How do you keep it
from... If somebody live in there, he take care of it. They put a new dirt or sod and anything like that. That give us a long time to live in that house.
So it's just like a modern house. If you take care of it, it'll last a long time. And if you don't, it won't.
Like you take care of your good on your gun from the roots, same thing.
Yeah.
If you want to have that house for quite a while, it's just like you take care of your gun good from the rust. Same thing.
So if you take care of it, it'll last.
Right.
And one of the books we read about this area, it talked about ice coming up and crushing a house. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, I heard about that. You see that bluff got a little creek,
mm-hmm.
that far from here?
Yeah.
Right across from that high, what you call that, Okoksek?
Okoksek.
Yeah, right across. Somebody live in there. And the ice, west wind blowing hard in the night. And that ice started to move without crushing. Just go right straight and cover that building while somebody sleeping there. I don't know how many. That story, I have heard about it.
And is that the only story, the only one time that you've heard about that happening?
Right. Right. That when the old people telling about that, they always tell it the same way, same as the other one talking about it, another guy talking about it, same thing.
And do you know of any other villages along the coast where that has happened?
Or, I never.
So this here in Mbeero is the only incident.
That's what I know.
That you know of.
That's what I always hear about. While I sleep, you see ice move, and without piling, it just go right straight up and cover that igloo.
That's pretty
scary. I don't know how many sleep in there.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
On the inside of these houses, we have this bench or sleeping area in the back. Now toward the front of the house, were there certain areas of the house, say where the women worked or did their sewing, and or did you just work wherever you wanted to
go? Yeah, well, I used to see just right above the skylight, they used to sew in their work. So we could see.
Yeah, you need good light for,
yeah.
Yeah, for sewing. What if you wanted to make something, a man, say, say you're going to make a small tool or repair your hunting gear or something, where would you do that in the house?
Repairing?
Yeah, or making something small you could. Would you say you wanted to repair a harpoon or something? Would you do that? Would you do that in the house, or would you do it outside? Or
well, they most of the time, you see, when they want to repair those things, by this time of the year, they work it outside.
Mm-hmm. How about in the winter?
Well, they work it inside.
Your dogs, where did you keep your dogs for your dog team?
Dogs used to be, well, in those days when we was a kid, they never had too many dogs. Well, a guy have sometimes 2, 5, 7. Most of the guy that I used to see have 7 dogs. And they used to have when they tied up their dog, they used to have a driftwood about that size. And they put, they make a chain where you wouldn't twist. They make out of a bone, some kind of a bone. Put a hole right on the end. Can I draw a little bit on the paper? Just not exactly the way, but just close to it so you could understand. See, they make a, when they want to have their dog tight, they had a little, about that size, wood. And they put something to hold. And they put some kind of sack of what, if the dog turned around, that thing wouldn't twist. And they made a bone, some kind of a bone. They make a hole over here, and that thing just put the other one and put another hole and put it on the collar. If that dog move around with that thing, that another thing never twists. You see, it got a joint here.
Toggle. Oh, so it turns so it doesn't.
Yeah.
So the line doesn't get off.
No. Well, the only trouble I see on my talking, you see, is pretty hard for you guys to understand. I'm a poor speaker. English.
No, you're doing fine.
Well, that's the way they keep their dogs tied up when they want to have their dogs tied.
And where did they, were they tied near the house or
near
away
the
from
house, right outside the house.
Right outside the house?
Yeah.
Any particular area? Were they like in front of the house or back? Or
maybe some used to be right on the side, some right on the front.
Were the dogs ever taken inside, maybe into the entranceway or some other part of the house?
Well, it used to be a lot of loose dogs in those days. Some of the people, when they liked a dog, sometimes they kept it in the house. Some of the dogs, they're smart, you know. They know pretty well.
Yeah.
And when you go hunting, they help a lot, too. When you see a bear, you got to have a good dog. If you can't catch that bear, you let that dog loose and going after that bear. And when that dog get into that bear, he just going around and stop that bear while the man coming. That's that way, you see, Eskimos, they take good care of their own dogs because they doing a lot of help when they do hunting. And in camping, sometime in the snow house, there's a dog outside. Sometimes the bear get in there, that dog howl, and the man knows something outside come. You see, Eskimos used to have a good dogs in those days. They doing a lot of help too.
Did the bears ever get the dogs, ever kill them?
Some. But the good dog that been trained that way never let the bear get him.
The dogs are quicker.
Get right away. Some of the dogs, they're crazy, you know. They get to the bear, and the bear just finish that dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who was one of the best hunters in Barrow with a dog?
No, I can tell you about the dogs, but the bear good hunter is, I know pretty well, is my father-in-law, my wife, daddy. He's a good hunter.
Good hunter.
Polar bear hunter, fox hunter, Hood Whaler.
What was his name?
Orson. Orson Cockock. Did he ever name Roxy, that man? Orson Cockock?
That name sounds familiar. He may have mentioned that name. I don't remember.
Well, there's a lot of people know him. One time when we had first married in 1929, we used to live up at Cape Hockett. And one summer we come here to Barrow. And I have found out before that lady. And we married in the summer, 1929. Yeah. And we go back with a boat. And in the winter, in those days, we don't have no telephone. That trader that worked for Captain Peterson had a store up there at Cape Hockett.
Which one was he?
Huh?
What was his name?
Well, this one is, his first name is Kern. I don't know what his last name, Kern anyway. And he wanted me to come to Barrow to send a wire to his boss. They had a wireless operator in those days here. That was Stanley Morgan. Maybe Roxy, he tell you about that.
I've heard that name.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the first ones in town to have an automobile, wasn't he?
Right. Him and the teacher. They sent me over to send a wire to San Francisco. And when I get here, that was in January or February. He already caught 17 polar bears. He always told me while he is skinning a bear, and when the other bear come along, or sometimes he knocks three together, he just went, go. I had enough right now. He just waved his hand like that and hollered. Scare the polar bear away.
You got enough, huh?
Yeah. That's what he always say. No, not today, you guys.
Come back some other day.
Come back some other day. Well, he's killing the bears, you know. He always tell me a story a lot about hunting. He's my father-in-law. I'm married to his daughter.
Where did he come from? Was he a Barrow person?
Right, here. He lives here in Barrow, up the point.
Up the point?
Yeah.
Do you know if he was born here?
Huh?
Do you know if he was born here?
I think he was born right here, Barrow. His father and his father's brothers, they are good hunters too.
Way back?
Yeah, right at the point. They are good hunters. Polar bear, whales, frogs. In those days, that is the only money the Eskimos have. Frogs, polar bear, baleen. Those are the only three that they used to trade with from the stores.
Do you have a photograph of Orson Cockock?
Yeah, I have.
Would it be all right to make a copy of that photograph?
Right.
Just for the report?
Right. If my old lady say okay, but she's too buzzing once in a while, you know, whatever she say, I go along. If she say okay, you guys would put a crap on that picture.
time is it, right?
No, my watch is stopped. I have a 8:45.
I think that's a little...
11:05.
I wonder if we should go out to the mound, or... I've got more questions, but a lot of them would be easy to answer while we're out there looking at what we're doing.
Do you want to go to his own house area or out to the site?
Raymond, how do you think? You're interested.
It's kind of hard for me if you take me down to those old igloos. You see, I never know much about them. The only thing that I use to talk. That's what I hear. I never seen those igloos. When somebody using it, the place where you guys have been digging.
Our problem is nobody ever saw anybody using those places. Nobody's still alive.
I don't think so.
So
yeah, our feeling was that.
But it would be very, very hard for me if you take me over there to that old igloo. It's going to be a hard answer.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm telling about the people, the old people that you're telling a story about it, that what I remember, that's what I'm talking right now.